Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 127. What's up, everybody? I'm Gabe.
I'm Josiah.
This is a show by the fans.
And for the fans.
And we've got a great show for you today. Better late than never. We are talking about Reliant K today.
It's about time.
Yes. For those of you that don't know, we've had an honor of Reliant K going back on tour this spring. We decided we were going to do a fun little tournament on our Facebook group page. Which Reliant K song is the best? And we had a 64-song tournament. And we will talk about that more. But it looked pretty fun. Did you have fun with that?
No, it was absolute torture trying to decide between these songs.
Yeah, some of the songs were definitely tug at your heartstrings to pick one or the other. I'm excited to talk about all things Reliant K today because they are one of the bands that really exploded in kind of around the time I was in high school. So these were some of my formidable years, as they say. Looking
isn't
back,
it formative years, not formidable years.
Well, I am not the wordsmith that you are, so.
Okay. Formidable. They may have been formidable years, though. Who knows?
When was the first time you heard of Reliant K?
I believe it was a Pressing On music video.
Really? You didn't?
Possibly. I don't know.
That was their second album.
I remember the Pressing On music video, but I also remember My Girlfriend.
Yeah, that was on their first full-length Goody album.
Yeah, but I don't think I really listened to that until after I listened to Pressing On, so I think probably my first, but I remember the music video coming out, and I remember knowing who Reliant K was already, but I think that was, okay, like my big Reliant K, like, okay, these guys are pretty good.
So, kind of getting ahead of ourselves, Reliant K formed on or about 1998 with Matt Thiessen, Matt Hoops, and Brian Pittman. Of course, Thiessen and Hoops still in the band today. Brian Pittman was the bass player at the time and went on to play bass with them for a while. They formed around junior year of high school. They played on when they went through college. They went to Malone University together. They were named after Matt Hoops' car, which was a Plymouth Reliant K, with a Reliant was spelled with an A instead of an E because they were afraid of being sued. So I guess they never got sued because the band never changed their name.
I feel like their strategy worked then.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Matt Thiessen, Matt Hoops, Brian Pittman. So obviously, I have not named a drummer here. The band went through several drummers before getting to their main one. Todd Frascone was the first drummer. Once he moved on, it was Steven Cushman. He left to join Narcissus. And then Brett Schoenman took over for a little bit. He was, I don't know if he left or he came from, but at some point he was in the band Fillmore. Jared Byers, I didn't know this, Jared Byers played in Reliant K. He went on to play for a band called Bleach and had a short stint in the Audio Adrenaline 2.0. But eventually, eventually, around the so Stephen Cushman played on their debut album, and we'll get into that, and then we'll talk about who ended up being pretty much the mainstay. We'll get into that when we get there, but their first album that they recorded together, kind of officially, was a demo called All Work and No Play. And it was recorded by Mark Townsend. I'm not sure how they met, but Mark Townsend found these guys and agreed to produce this album. If you go back into the archives, we'll get into that. But if you go back and you look at the track list for the album, All Work and No Play, you'll see songs like K-Car, I'm Lion-O, Marilyn Manson, Eat My Girlfriend. A lot of Softer to Me, a lot of these songs are going to end up on the debut album. So they signed with, and this is kind of, if you go back in the archives, you'll hear this story. They signed with Goatee Records. Mark Townsend and Toby were hanging out one day. Mark Townsend was DC Talk guitarist. And Toby said, hey, you got anything for me to hear, to listen to? And Mark said, well, I've been working with these guys from Ohio. Toby said, well, let me hear it. And Mark Townsend played the demo. Toby dug it. The rest is history. Toby signed them. If you want to go back into our archives, you can actually hear this story. Mark Townsend told us the story when he was actually on the road playing with Reliant K. I believe it was episode 43. So if you go back into the archives and listen to that, it's a cool story that Mark tells. But once they joined Goatee Records, they released a little preview EP called 2000 ADD. And 2000 ADD was yet another preview of their debut album, their songs. There's four songs on it called, and it was Hello McFly, My Girlfriend, Softer to Me, and Breakdown. All that is to say, they finally come out with their debut album on April 25th, 2000. It's self-titled. It's called Reliant K. I've been talking for a long time. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3 stars. But Stephen Cushman at the time was the drummer. Mark Townsend produced this as well. And this was quite the debut for Reliant K. It was different than anything else that was on Goatee Records at the time. And this was also prequel to a lot of this type of music within the Christian world, I guess. But anyway, we're at the debut album. Marilyn Manson, Ain't My Girlfriend, Hello McFly, Wake Up Call, Softer to Me, a lot of songs that longtime Reliant K fans know. What are some songs from this album, Josiah, that stick out to you?
Well, Softer to Me sticks out big time because I've got to say it's probably in my top 2 favorite Reliant K songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Up Call, fantastic song. Hello McFly, I really, really like that song. Charles in Charge is another great song off this album. Nancy Drew. I think this is a pretty complete album, which is awesome for a debut album. This really kind of set the tone, like you said, not only for Reliant K, but just kind of this genre in Christian music altogether.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that this, their debut album happened as we're recording this just a little over 22 years ago. So this album is now legally old enough to drink, but this album has actually sold close to, it's close to being certified gold. It's not quite there. It's a little over 400,000. 500,000 is the threshold for that. And we'll talk about that more. But following this album, Steven Cushman left the band and Dave Douglas joined. Dave Douglas is pretty much what everybody knows as the Reliant K drummer. He's featured as a vocalist in some songs. He really helped complete the Reliant K sound. And really, you had like the Newsboys who did like the singing drummer every now and then. But not like going back and forth the way that Matt and Dave would do on some songs. And later bands like Under Oath would do this. And so Reliant K, I know some people will roll their eyes when I say this, but Reliant K was a little ahead of the game when it came to that, I think.
Everyone in their lineup could sing. They had some great harmonies and all kind of different vocalists that they could do. I mean, I think about bands like even Family Force 5. I remember watching them do a sound check and they told the sound man, hey, listen, all of us are going to be singing, so we all have to be loud. I thought that was pretty funny. But Reliant K was elite at that. They had they were all so talented, not only at their own instruments, but also with their voices.
So with this lineup, we now enter pretty much, I guess, already the golden years of Reliant K, kind of. I mean, there is an EP that released August 28th, 2001, which was called the Creepy EP. And a lot of these songs would feature songs that would be on their next record, which was called The Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek. The Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek released on August 28th, 2001. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3.5 stars. Mark Townsend also produced this album. This album was certified gold on June 26th, 2006. This was, for me, I feel like they started to, they perfected their like pop punk sound. They hadn't quite found the sound that they would become the most popular with yet. And there are songs on this album that are still sung today. Probably the most notable one would be the Sadie Hawkins Dance. But one of my personal favorites, one of the best deep cut Reliant K songs of all time, is on this album. It's called Failure to Excommunicate, one of the best bass lines you'll ever hear. Of course, Pressing On, the title track, is awesome. And as May 4th just passed, I guess I should note that May the Horse Be With You is on this album as well.
This album is, I know every single word on this album from the kickoff all the way to Skittles and Combos at the end. I absolutely love this album. And like you said, I don't know if this was like the sound that they became most popular with, but this might be my favorite album from them. Of course, I might say that about the next 3 or 4 albums that we talk about. But this album kind of gives me like Audio Adrenaline Bloom vibes, where they're kind of just at their most raw sound, but they're just like, it's so good at the same time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Down in Flames is one of my favorites off of this breakdown. Maybe it's Maybelline. Like, I'm just naming songs that you didn't name. What have you been doing lately? I love that. But Failure to Excommunicate, like you said, is one of my favorite songs of all time from Relient K.
Yeah, and like I said, I think this was possibly, maybe this album or next album was their peak when it came to that pop punk sound. And that was a really popular sound at the time. I have to say, later on, Relient K is probably my favorite sound, but this, it's not to say that this is something I dislike for sure, because I love going back and listening to this album and the next album. Before we get to the next album, there was an EP that was released in 2002 prior to the next album that features a lot of the songs that are on the next album. It's called Employee of the Month. And the packaging on this depicts a member, each member of Relient K as Employee of the Month. So there were several covers for this. Speaking of several covers, that takes us to the next album. Two lefts don't make a right, but three do. This album had four different album covers and actually had a fifth one that included all previous four ones kind of mashed together. But this album was released March 11th, 2003. Jesus Freak Out gave it 4.5 stars. This is the only album, according to my research, I could be wrong, the internet could lie, this is the only album that Relient K was ever nominated for a Grammy Award. Did I say Relient K?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, I thought I just spoiled it. This is the only album that Relient K was nominated for a Grammy, and this was in the category of the best rock gospel album back when the Grammys had that category. Can you guess which album won that from that year?
2003.
Yes.
For best
rock gospel album.
I'm going to go with Kirk Franklin.
No, rock.
I know. I was just making fun of the Grammys for always picking weird things. I do not know. It's probably going to be Switchfoot.
Think of a band from Forefront.
Listen, you know every label better than I do. Maybe Audio Adrenaline.
Okay. Getting warm. You're hot. What album?
Some Kind of Zombie.
2003.
I have trouble remembering what I ate today, Gabe. This is not going to be my best category.
Worldwide by Audio Adrenaline won the Grammy for Rock Gospel Album in 2003.
I guess I was thinking more 1993 than 2003.
2004, I guess it would be. But anyway, yeah, so this album went gold on March 21st, 2005, so just a little over 2 years. This album featured both Mark Townsend and Matt Thiessen as producers. So this is the third album, and it also continues on with that pop punk sound. Especially with songs like Chapstick Chaplips and things like Chemistry. Mood Rings is kind of like in the same type of vein as Sadie Hawkins Dance. But I feel like songs like I'm Understood and even like In Love with the 80s, they're kind of, I can feel them kind of beginning to turn into what they're going to be.
I think I Am Understood and Forward Motion are both some of my favorite songs of this album, and definitely Jefferson Airplane. That song is phenomenal, but that it like you said, it was a little bit of a different kind of sound than their Chap Lips and Things Like Chemistry.
Yeah, and on this past tour, they played that song. And if you've not listened to that song specifically, Chapstick, Chap Lips, and Things Like Chemistry, if you are under the age of, well, I don't know, 30, you're not going to understand any of the lyrics, because it talks about not being able to use your cell phone until after 9 p.m. and getting free free nights and weekends and so on and so forth.
Do people even go to theme parks anymore?
I feel like, I don't know. I'm never
maybe in the metaverse.
Maybe so. But anyway, I think I don't know if I could pick a favorite between this one and The Anatomy of Tongue in Cheek. I kind of group these two albums together, because they're really starting to ramp up. 2003 was actually a very busy year for Relient K, because they also went on to release two EPs following this album. The first one was called The Vinyl Countdown. It was released on August 1st, 2003. And it features a song called Five Iron Frenzy Is Either Dead or Dying. Unfortunately, Five Iron Frenzy is still alive and well.
Yeah,
so this song kind of jinxed that.
Yeah.
And then later in 2003, November 4th, they released Deck the Halls, Bruise Your Hand, which featured the song that a lot of people love, I Celebrate the Day.
An original Christmas song. How about that?
Really good. A lot of people really like this album, and specifically that song. They would actually re-release this album on October 23rd, 2007 in an album called Let It Snow, Baby, Let It Rain, Dear. So
they're very, very good.
Kind of double dipped. But yeah. For Christmas music, it's pretty, pretty good.
If you haven't heard it, definitely go listen to I Celebrate the Day and I Hate Christmas Parties. Love both of those.
I actually saw them on tour for that album. It was a Toby Mac Christmas tour that they were on, and they played a lot of the songs on there, and so that was interesting. Anyway, that takes us to some of the heavyweight albums of the Relient K catalog. That takes us to which was released November 2nd, 2004. This album is what many consider as the best Relient K album, at least one or two, depending on who you speak with. But it was produced by Matt Thiessen, Mark Townsend. It had a nomination for a Juno Award for the Best Contemporary Christian Gospel Album. It was certified gold in 2005. It won the 2006 Dove Award for Rock Album of the Year. And this is pretty much soon after this album, the Relient K lineup changed fairly drastically, as Brian Pittman, as we mentioned, left the band shortly after the release of this album. And who we get as a replacement is John Warne, who was the lead vocalist of Ace Troubleshooter. Brian Pittman made a statement about how he wanted to go into some kind of landscaping company, but later on he would join a band called Inhale Exhale.
Fantastic band. I loved Inhale Exhale. They were very, very good. Not quite the same genre as Reliant K, though.
Not quite. So, John Warren, like I said, joins the band from Ace Troubleshooter. Also joining the band shortly after the release of this album, John Schneck. John Schneck had a little stint in Audio Adrenaline prior to joining. He was not really an official member, but he was like a touring guitarist for them. And it was on this album that Reliant K would get a lot of fame for songs like Be My Escape, Who I Am, Hates Who I've Been. They would go on tour with May, Good Charlotte, Simple Plan. They would be on the Warped Tour, really just starting to really blow up, playing some late night shows, getting some play on VH1 for their music videos. 10 years after this, they would play this album start to finish on tour. One of my favorite nights ever. But yeah, this album is probably my favorite Reliant K album. Be My Escape made it to our finals for our song, Best Reliant K Song. But if you went and to go see them on tour this past spring, they had quite a few songs from this album. Probably one of the best two live songs are the combo of Wish to Bury, Us or the Hatchet, and Let It All Out, if you ask me. But yeah.
High of 75 is also one of my favorites off of this album. The One I'm Waiting For is another really good one. More Than Useless, that's a very, very good song. I don't know if you mentioned that this reached number one on U.S. Christian Albums Billboard and peaked at 15 in the U.S. Billboard Top 200. So this was not only doing like top numbers in Christian music sales, but like you said, it was also getting play a lot, like just on all over the place.
I don't know if I mentioned Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4.5 stars. It was also nominated for the Recorded Music Packaging of the Year, which kind of is a tip of the hat to the art packaging, which some of you kids will never know about. But did you go with us to that 10th anniversary tour?
I went. Was that the one at the Altar Bar?
Yes.
And they had the band that opened for them that sang in the car commercial?
Yes.
And our cousin wasn't allowed to come upstairs with us because he wasn't 21 yet. Yep, I remember. That was a great show.
It was. I really love those types of shows where they just kind of focus on one album, play it start to finish.
And then they'll come out and play 4 or 5 of their biggest hits. An anniversary tour is awesome because you get to see songs that they've never played live before. Because, of course, they're going to play Be My Escape, but I don't know if they ever played like Life After Death and Taxes live before this tour. Who knows? They might have, but I'm just saying it's a really good opportunity to see maybe some of your favorite deep cuts that they never play.
And not just that, it's hard to believe we're just 2 years away from the 20th anniversary.
I wonder what they'll do for that.
I wonder. So following the release of this, there is a EP called the Apathetic EP. It was released November 8th, 2005. It features a couple originals, a couple acoustic tracks from previous albums. And about 2 years after that, takes us to 5 Score and 7 Years Ago, which was released March 6, 2007. It was produced by not only Mark Townsend and Matt Thiessen, but also Howard Benson, which was a pretty heavyweight producer at the time. This album went gold after 4 weeks. Only took about a month before it sold 500,000 copies. So they were definitely hitting on all cylinders at this point. They were really kind of being able to spend some money with just the whole recording process. Again, a lot of late night appearances with this album. And Warped Tour, a lot of play with songs like Must Have Done Something Right. One of my favorite Reliant K songs of all time, Devastation and Reform, which didn't get a whole lot of love in our tournament, but one song that did was a song that won the whole dang thing, and that was a song called Deathbed, which is unlike any other Reliant K song ever, but it seems to be a song that a lot of fans always go to.
What's it called when a song is a story? Because this is maybe the greatest story song of all time. It's called something. I know, because I had an assignment to bring in that specific kind of song for school one day, and I brought this song in. But yeah, this album, if this isn't my favorite album, it's my second favorite album to I don't know. Forgiven is such a good song. I think you mentioned Devastation and Reform, but I think I Need You. You get to hear the vocals on Pleading the Fifth, just like a completely a cappella song. But Deathbed is elite, and seeing them play that song live is absolutely incredible. I saw them play it live twice. Once in Pittsburgh, they played it and John Foreman came out and sang with them on the song. It gave goosebumps. But I think my favorite time I ever saw them play it, they played it at Creation. And in Pittsburgh, everyone's there to see Reliant K. But at Creation, I don't know how many people knew that song. Like, of course, the Reliant K fans do, but I just remember a moment where I looked around and everybody had stopped. There's nobody moving. Everybody was just like sitting there listening to this story about Deathbed. And it was, I don't know, it was just a cool moment in concert going history for me, where everyone was just completely locked in to this phenomenal song.
And it's not, this song is over 11 minutes long. So it's not a normal song at all. But like you said, it tells a story, and it's not just the words, it's the music along with it that really, it's an amazing, it's unlike any other Reliant K song for sure.
But it's really powerful, and it sucks you in. Like you said, it's 11 minutes, but you're sitting there listening to it. It does not feel like 11 minutes, and you're so invested in it. By the end of the song, it's just, like I said, that moment in the concert where, of course, when something comes on, people are moving around, talking, maybe, I don't know, doing a bunch of different things. But when they're bringing out the trumpets and doing the instrumentals and all kinds of different stuff, it's just, you could, like, besides the music, everything else is still. You could hear a pin drop out in the crowd. It's just, is so good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Maria. Maria, I will sing this on a cross-country trip with you one day, and we will both lose our voices.
The fun story is that I remember that Creation performance. I actually watched that from behind the stage. Cool. And it was something else because, like you said, everybody kind of stopped what they were doing, and I could see that from my perspective, just looking out on the crowd and seeing everybody watching. Of course, the first, 10 or 15 rows back, singing word for word. Yeah, that's something I'm never going to forget. And watching it from that perspective was pretty special. So following the release of Five Score and 7 Years Ago, which released again March 6th, later that year, October 8th, Dave Douglas, longtime drummer, left the band, and in to replace him, longtime music industry veteran Ethan Luck. Ethan Luck had previously been in about 100 other bands, such as Demon Hunter and Supertones, but he also played in bands like Project 86. I believe he played in PAX 217. If you go on his Wikipedia page, it's an extensive list. But it was quite the landing for Reliant K. And I believe during that time, he even went back and forth between playing with Demon Hunter. He played guitar with Demon Hunter, and he played drums in Reliant K. So not quite the same genres. So that must have been something else for him to go back and forth between, but not soon after, Reliant K in July of the next year in 2008 released the Bird and Bee Sides and the Nashville Tennis EP, which the Bird and Bee Sides are what sounds like. They are a lot of Bee Sides. Some of them had already previously been released. The Nashville EP featured some rare tracks as well. And even featured some different vocalists such as John Warren and Ethan Luck. So it's a unique release by them, leading into the release of Forget and Not Slow Down, which released in October 6th, 2009, Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4.5 stars. Mark Townsend and Matt Thiessen produced this album. It was recorded as a part of Jive Records. This is actually the first album. It's a little confusing. This is the first album that's not officially on Goatee Records, but it is. Was released also on Mono versus Stereo, which is kind of related to Goatee Records in a way. And this album also was nominated for recorded music packaging, which is again a more related to the art of the album. But this album, a lot of really diehard Reliant K fans really dig this album. It did not get the notoriety of the last two albums, but it's a really, really solid album when you go back and listen to it. I was kind of, when I was going back and putting together the tournament, I was surprised how much I really kind of forgot how good this album was.
I will admit, I like a few songs off this album, but I'm probably the opposite on this. This is probably one of my least favorite Reliant K albums. So I'm not super familiar with it. I know I really like I Don't Need a Soul, probably my favorite song off of this. Looking now, I see that they have some guest appearances from 7 Day Jesus and House of Heroes and Aaron Gillespie and even the Classic Crime. So that's kind of cool. Those are some things I didn't know about that album.
Yeah. Sahara for me is like, that's the song you have to hear live to fully appreciate. But it's not to say that this band, this album, like it wasn't, I mean, they were still doing a lot of cool things, like touring with Owl City, the Classic Crime. And I think they even at this time went on tour with Paramore and Fun. And so it's not to say that they were not successful at this time. But it was, as far as like, I don't know, all the things that you measure successes with, it was not a successful release as the last two. And so that is, I guess that's to be debated about whether that's actually true or not, but I still think it's a solid album, and I think it may still make my like top five or whatever. So that takes us to a fun little project they did called K is for Karaoke, which was an album. I think they actually released this as a two-part EP, like one was released in October. I don't remember really exactly how it was, but it featured 14 songs, all covers from bands such as Toto, Weezer, Tears for Fears, even Justin Bieber. What do you remember about this?
I love this album. Everything from Girls Just Want to Have Fun to Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Africa from Toto. The only thing I think I would change about this album is I once saw them play a cover of Lose Yourself by Eminem and live in concert. And when I heard they were putting out a cover album, I really wanted that to be on there because they absolutely killed that song. But yeah, like you said, this is really fun. And Reliant K is very good. Not everybody's great at putting out covers, but they were very good at it.
My son absolutely loves the cover of Africa from Toto that's on this album.
I love Crazy too.
Yeah, that's really good too. I need to go back and listen to some of these, because now that I'm looking at the track list, you know, obviously I think Everybody Wants to Rule the World was my favorite track from this, but I remember the Justin Bieber song was pretty fun.
There's so many different genres, and they kind of all made them their own.
Yeah. But that takes us to one of the more, I don't know if bizarre is the right word, but different album, probably the most different album of their catalog. It's called Collapsible Lung. It released July 2nd, 2013. Jesus Freak Kyle gave it 3.5 stars. This is the only album that Mark Townsend did not work with the band on. It was produced by Aaron Sprinkle, who's produced just about everybody. Shortly after, I don't know if it was shortly after, it was around the time of this release that longtime bassist John Warren, John Schneck, and Ethan Luck all were not going to be participating with the band going forward. So there was a major change in the band at that time. It was primarily only Matt Thiessen and Matt Hoops with a few touring members. And that's kind of how it was for at least that era. And Dan Garley and Tom Brayfogle, I don't know, filled in on bass and drums on the tour. This album is, I would say out of all the albums, this one is probably the most like mixed reaction. Some hate it, some like a song or two here and there. Some actually like it. I'm kind of in the middle. Like there's a couple songs I like, but the rest of it, I don't really care that much for.
I'm looking at the professional ratings on the Wikipedia page. There's 4.5 stars from some people, 5 from some people, 2 from some people. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3 stars and 3.5 stars, 2 separate ratings. I don't know why they did that, but maybe they were torn on it as well. But this album charted pretty well. I can't say that I know much about it, though. I think, I don't know if this one, I'm going to re-listen to this one because I don't know if it just flew under my radar entirely or I listened to it and I didn't like it. So, I mean, I know Don't Blink, but I couldn't tell you too much more about the rest of this album.
Yeah. It's definitely, like I said, mixed reviews.
I mean, it hit 16 in the Billboard Top 200, which is
right
as high as some of their other albums were, like their more popular albums were getting.
Yeah. And, you know, that I think anytime Relient K puts out an album, they're going to be up there. But I would say out of all of the albums, and they've had 8 full-length albums, this is probably my least favorite, I would say. But that takes us to Air for Free. I should say in between these two albums, Collapsible Lung and Air for Free, I think was when they did that 10th anniversary tour. And then they released Air for Free, which was their 8th album. Dave Douglas returned to the band, not as an official member, I guess, but he toured with the band for the 10th anniversary tour, and he returned for this tour as well. And he was also on this recent tour that they did, the Yeah tour that just ended a few weeks ago. But Mark Townsend returned to the band as a producer. They had an amazing tour with Switchfoot with this album. And this album for me was kind of a return to what they did with like Forgetting Not Slow Down. I think there's a lot of great songs on this. But it also has their worst song ever, Mississippopotamuses. but be that as it may, it's hard to believe that this album is already almost 6 years old. But I really enjoyed this and was glad to hear kind of their return to what they did prior to Collapsible Lung.
I think that because I went and saw Relient K with Switchfoot on that tour, I remember that was kind of my introduction to this album. A lot of the songs like Bummin' and Mrs. Hippopotamuses, songs like that, Local Construction is one of my favorite songs. Air for Free, God. But a lot of these songs I heard live first, because it was kind of like I said, the last two albums kind of fell off my radar a little bit. Maybe I didn't have time. Maybe I didn't like them. I don't really remember. We all kind of do that from time to time. But when I saw this live, it's something that's regularly on my playlist. Just it sucked me in. It's very good.
It is good. And that tour was really great. They even played quite a few songs on this last tour that they did this spring. And this is not the most recent release that Reliant K has had. They had an EP released on the following year, February 12th, 2017. And they released a live album on April 24th, 2020. But as of now, Air for Free is the last full-length album. I'm sure we will one day see another album, especially, you know, the thing that interests me is the lineup for the Yeah tour was kind of the classic lineup. Matt Thiessen, Matt Hoops, of course, but Dave Douglas was on drums. John Schneck returned to play guitar. Ethan Luck, actually, who had played previously as the drummer, was on this tour as the bass player. So that was interesting. So I'm interested to kind of see what goes on from here. I know that Matt has been working on some new music. Matt has had a release since then with Matt Thiessen and the Earthquakes, which was pretty terrific. It came out a year or two after this release. I'm just kind of curious and hopeful for the future. I don't think they're done. What do you think?
I don't know if Matt Thiessen strikes me as a guy that's ever done. I mean, even if he's not putting out music, he's just creative. He's a genius. And I feel like part of the longevity of Reliant K is his lyrics. He's very good at being lighthearted and funny at times, but then also completely honest at times. And I think, I mean, he's always going to have songs, even if he doesn't, if Reliant K never puts out an album, he has how many side projects? They even wrote a book, The Complex Infrastructure Known as the Female Mind, just goofy stuff like that, that constantly creating. And maybe in a few years we'll see something like John Rubin put out, where he just kind of said that, yeah, I'm still around, I still have music, I still can make stuff. Because I don't know if I want to live in a world without Matt Thiessen's commentary on what's going on or how he's feeling. Yeah. Or just, I mean, you talked about your formidable years in high school, but I think a lot of the people that listen to Reliant K, and they're kind of in the same vein as you, where they're like, this was my high school. So, I mean, there's Sadie Hawkins Dance and songs like that, but then songs like I Am Understood that kind of reach out and grab you. And even a song like College Kids, where he's dealing with his dad wants him to go to college and he just doesn't think he's cut out for it. And even though that's a fun song, he's talking about things that real people go through. So I think I don't think they're done.
It's funny you mentioned,
they'll keep going.
It's funny you mentioned College Kids. When you go on Spotify, College Kids is like in their top five most streamed songs, which
it's a good song.
You wouldn't think that would be in their top five, but it is. But yeah,
I think Reliant K. Well, I was just going to say, I think if you look at bands that have lasted this long, like Switchfoot or Project 86, or I mean, I don't know, Skillet, bands like that, that constantly recreate their sound, but also stay true to their sound, which keeps their core fan base. And of course, there's fans that come and go based on their little alterations in style. But I think Reliant K has done a very good job over 20 something years of reinventing their sound. Sounds a little different than Hella McFly, but also Air for Free, maybe just as good as a song.
And I think what you said is true. I mean, I don't think in any world Matt Thiessen is just going to stop making music. I do think he's probably a little bit more selective than, say, a John Foreman, who finds a way to release an album every 1 or 2 years. Matt Thiessen's more of a, at this point, more of like a 4, 5, 6 year type thing.
John Foreman releases something every 2 months.
Yeah, it seems
just
like
under
it.
All these different alias names, and it,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he has a ghost account somewhere, just releasing songs.
That's possible. So yeah, if you did not get to enjoy our tournament, you should make sure you join our Facebook page, Decent Christian Talk Facebook group. We had a great tournament, 64 songs.
I did not select these 64 songs. So if your favorite song got left off the list, you can complain to management.
The final four were Savannah, Deathbed, Be My Escape, and I So Hate Consequences. I So Hate Consequences upset Sadie Hawkins Dance. Savannah upset Who I Am, Hates Who I've Been. But Deathbed and Be My Escape emerged from that, and with Deathbed taking it all the way.
I think Softer to Me got knocked out in the first round.
No, they made it to the Sweet 16.
They did? Okay.
Savannah was what ended up taking them out. But not to put you on the spot, I know we always kind of do this, but real quick, maybe more rapid fire, let's do our top five Reliant K albums.
Oh, dang it.
I know, and while you get situated, I will say my fifth album is probably, let's see, I'm gonna go with, let's see here, this is really difficult. I will go with, this is the hardest one, I think, probably, but probably I'll go with Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek for five.
Okay, I'm going with Air for Free.
Okay, I'm actually going to go Air for Free, number four.
Okay, I'm going to go dang it. I didn't have any of this written down. I think I'm going Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, but Three Do.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of my toss up between that and Anatomy of Tongue in Cheek for five. I'm going to go with number three. I'm going to go with Forget and Not Slow Down.
I think for number three, I'm scrolling back and forth between, I think number three has got to be Reliant K, the original.
Oh, album. Okay. Wow. All right. Number two for me, Five Score and 7 Years Ago.
I think that might be number two for me as well.
All right. Yeah. And then are we going to agree that Mm-hmm is number one?
No, I had the Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek.
Oh, okay.
At number one.
Wow, okay.
Of course, that could be just because I made this list right now, but I do think that Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek would be number one. And would be closer to three or four if I had to redo this list.
I didn't have mine written down either, so.
I didn't either. What's your favorite Reliant K song? I know we had the tournament, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me not to say Deathbed. I think we've even gone, I think we talked about this on a previous show. That song for me is just, it hits me in all the feels, as they say.
I think Deathbed is up there. Softer to Me is up there. Probably I Am Understood would be another one that I would have to mention. But they've been around for so long. Like I said, they're one of those bands where you're listening to it and you're like, this is my favorite album. And then you get to the next album and you're like, no, wait, this one. So I'm going to go back and listen to Collapsible Lung and Forget Not So Down. I know they didn't really rate too well in my top five, but who knows if we do this list again soon.
Just so you know, Deathbed, their road to the championship, they beat Trademark, Bite My Tongue, Witch to Bury, Us or the Hatchet. That was a tough one. They beat High of 75. That could be considered an upset. Then they beat Savannah, and then they beat Be My Escape.
Was I the tiebreaker on any of those?
I think you were for at least one of those.
Yes. Mostly because I never look at Facebook, and Gabe would text me and say, hey.
Josiah was our official tiebreaker.
That's just because I'm bad at Facebook. But this was a lot of fun.
It was. What is your main takeaway from Reliant K?
I think my main takeaway is longevity. I think, like, it's weird to me to think about, like, I still think about some of these albums that we talked about, like, 5 Score and 7 Years ago. I'm like, oh yeah, that's like one of their newer albums, or like stuff like that. I'm like, but that,
yeah, that's that just us getting old.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
But you were talking about like, okay, they really hit their stride with, and Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, but Three Do. And I'm sitting here thinking, I think they hit their stride in just like a different spot in four or five of these albums. And then Air for Free is also fantastic, which just shows that they still got it.
Yeah, my takeaway is like they came into the Christian music world as a part of Goatee Records, but it seemed like they were kind of, even though they were in that world, they seemed more a part of like the Tooth and Nail culture that was there at the time, like with Anne Berlin and, you know, all those bands that ended up touring on the Warped Tour. And I know Brandon Ebel, the Tooth and Nail founder and president, head honcho, always talks about how he wishes he would have signed Reliant K. And I just wonder what their trajectory would have been had that happened. I wonder how that would have been. And you know, it would have been interesting to see that.
I know they definitely got some. Anytime a Christian band starts to be successful, there's always people that think, well, they're on secular radio now. And you always, I know growing up, I did hear some of that, which is ridiculous. You should always be happy for people, but I know they play bars and things like that. People thought, well, can't do that. So I do remember they kind of went through some of it, at least in my local circle with local church, things like that. But I think that they've always been kind of, I don't know, at the forefront of Christian music, which is, I mean, not always, because they obviously weren't around back in the 70s or something like that. But
yeah,
I think they're one of the cutting edge groups, one of the elite groups of the 2000s and 2010s.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left. We're going to head off into the sunset. I hope you enjoyed our journey through the Reliant K catalog. If you enjoyed this, please share this with a friend. Join our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, Decent Christian Talk, and a group, discussion group, Decent Christian Talk podcast. We also are on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2. We have an Instagram account, DC Talk Podcast. Hit us up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us a rating. We greatly appreciate that. I think you can actually rank and review shows on Spotify now. And I think we're on like Amazon, and I don't know. I'm not sure if we're on Elon Musk's Twitter. I need to look more into that.
I'll text him later to see what's up.
Okay.
So, and let us know. We kind of do these histories of bands. Let us know if you have a band you want to hear. And if we don't know much about that band, we can always bring in an expert to help talk us through it. I know most recently, what have you been listening to most recently? Because I just went through the entire Falling Up song list.
Well, it's interesting that you just brought that up, because I'm going to be attending Furnace Fest this fall. And I think we may need to go through a journey through the catalog of Blindside.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
The preview Furnace Fest.
I think that might be a three-part episode.
Maybe.
I'm on the fence. No, I'm not on the fence. I want to go. I just gotta get tickets. I just gotta do it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like last year when they were like, hey, which band should we have? And I put like two or three, and they booked them all. And I said, okay.
Is Showbread booked?
I don't think it's, so, but
okay. Cause those were when they put that out, those were it was Blindside and Showbread were the two bands I put down. But they got Blindside. Holy crap. Holy crap, they got Blindside.
Yeah. I could not pass that up. So,
all right.
If you are listening to this and going to Furnace Fest, let us know, because I'd love to hook up with you there and say hello, and great to meet you guys. But with that, we are going to head off into the sunset. We hope you enjoyed today's show, but we will catch you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.